You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show. We are going to be talking about basically, at least on my half, we're going to be talking about setting goals the smart way and kind of how to really set yourself up. We're going into a new season. I know we've talked about things in to help set you up and succeed a while ago, but these are kind of new ideas, new perspectives, kind of a new way to organize yourself with your goals and kind of, you know, just we're evolving. So is the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're thinking about going into winter, keeping those goals for winter, and making sure that we're, you know, even formulating our herbs to support the goals that we have for winter. Like, for instance, I wrote something down, supporting the joy in your heart. And Danielle laughed at me because that's totally, if you know me, that's totally not something I would normally say. But, you know, staying happy over the winter time, making sure that your mood is boosted. How do we formulate herbs in the correct way, like blending herbs together to support those goals? So we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this because it doesn't even matter where you are in the world. I feel like you can benefit from this because whether you're going into winter and you're trying to set goals for yourself so that you stay kind of ahead of the game mentally or ahead of the game physically, or whether you're going into summer in another part of the world and you're about to go into a really active part of your life or a part of the year, or maybe you're just in a different phase. You know, Paula's moving this week. She's about to enter a new change, and to be able to set goals and stuff may help keep anyone on track. So no matter where you are or at what point you are in your life, hopefully these will be able to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to jump in with two herbs that go really well together that'll support your mood and just support your body overall. We've talked about in the past, and if you've listened to season one, how you don't want to necessarily use chemical medicine as a way to suppress symptoms. It's just supporting your body. And so the best way to do that is through whole health. Herbs in particular have different chemical constituents that are naturally occurring that work together, a lot like when we talk about eating whole foods. You wouldn't necessarily get all of your protein source from a protein shake, even though it's probably the most efficient way to get your macro count or whatever it is. But you're not wanting to go out and say, for instance, with linden today. Linden is one of the herbs we're going to be talking about. This is a sweet, cooling herb. It's a pain reliever, antispasmodic. You can put linden in bath bomb or a bath salt and soak in it. And it's really calming for children and adults, which is fantastic when you're talking about maybe going for more heavy workouts in the winter, getting that quote-unquote beach body.
or just... not just working for your beach body, also working for your mental health.
Yes,
you know, keep your happiness, that joy in your heart. Remember, Paula, that joy you're trying to cultivate.
Right. And so linden is a good way to do that. I had somebody describe it to me as the herb that's ready to just offer you a plate of cookies and listen to everything you have to say, which sounds fantastic. It's
so
just
nice.
Like there to support you. The linden leaves come from the linden tree, and in the spring when these bloom, they actually have a fantastic fragrance to them, and it's used in France a lot for a lot of their products, perfumes and things. So linden has bioflavonoids that are naturally occurring, like I mentioned, and this is valuable because there's a lot of them that we hear or that the news will pick up, and it'll be kind of a buzzword for a few years in the health and fitness industry. So quercetin is an antioxidant that's anti-inflammatory, that helps reduce swelling. It's also supposedly used for killing certain cancer cells and controls the blood sugar in your body, preventing heart disease, all of these good things that you want. This is only one of the chemical constituents naturally occurring in linden, and this is why it's important to know what the phytochemistry is when you start blending herbs. This is why we're talking a little bit more about that today and not just the energetics of it. So camphorol is another one that is a polyphenol antioxidant found in fruits and vegetables, but also found in linden leaves. And we hear about it a lot because it helps reduce chronic disease within our bodies and also has an inverse relationship to cancer when taken. So some of the other foods that you can find camphorol in, like apples, grapes, tomatoes. So once again, when we're talking about eating a whole health diet, you should also be considering taking your supplements in a whole health way, which is through herbs where they're naturally occurring within. Mm-hmm. And one of the other chemical constituents naturally found in linden is rutin. So that's R-U-T-I-N. Sometimes I don't pronounce it, so I just wanted to spell that out. And it helps with strength and flexibility, especially in your blood vessels. So every single one of these chemical constituents I mentioned kind of works in the body in a different way. But when you think about them in this light, healthy, natural way working together within the body, this is why eating naturally, taking herbs and more natural supplements is going to support your whole health. And the wildlife around us apparently agrees that they're squawking. And so, you know, if you don't have to worry about maybe varicose veins or spider veins or any of that stuff right now, and you're not necessarily thinking about strengthening your blood vessels, thinking about incorporating these herbs now for long-term health in the future. Remember what we said last time, how we don't want to start incorporating herbs after there's already a problem in place.
Yeah, preventative measures. That's what it's all about. Preventative health measures, make sure you don't have chronic disease, preventative support and all of these things. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely. And linden's a fantastic herb to help support your liver as well. So really a great one overall, whether it's in a bath salt or a tea, I highly recommend that. And then we'll talk about how well it works with heather flower here in just a little bit.
Yeah, but just to take a quick break, a different little segue for a moment. When you're setting yourself up, regardless of what your end goal is, and this could be in regards to exercise, this could be in regards to diet, this could be in regards to incorporating herbs into your life, whatever the case may be, honesty with yourself, I think, is the first place that you need to start, and understanding where you are in that journey, I think, is an important place to start. So where you are right now. So there are different stages of changes. The first stage is pre-contemplation stage. This is where there really is just no desire to change. I mean, you may be aware that there's a problem, but it doesn't really matter to you and you don't really have any desire whatsoever, regardless of having this awareness. Then you have your contemplation stage, which is where you're starting to think about it. You can, maybe this is a time where you're learning about the pros and cons of continuing down this path, and whatever it may be, like I said, you know, you may be aware of the benefits to changing and you're starting to think about it, but no real action has been taken. Mm-hmm. You'll then have your preparation stage, which is actively talking about and taking steps to prepare to take action. So we all go through all of these stages as we lead up to things. So this is just in preparation of action. It's your intent to full action within about 30 days or so. So maybe it's like, let's say you were joining a gym, because this is my experience and this is where I'm coming from. Let's say you're joining a gym. The preparation stage would be maybe when you do that trial, or even when you make that first phone call to set up your trial class or to set up your trial week, and you're testing it out, but you're getting all of that information and you're preparing yourself to make that commitment within about 30 days. You'll then have the action stage, which is when behavior has happened, but it hasn't lasted more than 6 months. And at this stage, in complete honesty, you are vulnerable to variables and setbacks here. So that's why what I'm going to talk about a little bit later in the podcast, how you set up your goals, is going to be really important for this phase, this action phase. You'll then go into a maintenance stage, which is where the behavior has been consistent for more than 6 months without any going back and forth, without any relapse of anything. So maybe that consistent fitness routine, that consistent, I never want to say diet, but that consistent nutrition plan for yourself, I guess you could say, or that healthy eating pattern for yourself, because I don't want to call it a diet. Or, you know, you have been incorporating herbs that you learned about for the last 6 months and you have given it that time to where you can notice change. So this is where you're trying to maintain these newfound habits. And then in brutal honesty or in transparency, there also is a relapse stage because it is something that people go through. And I shouldn't even say brutal honesty because I don't think there has to be anything negative associated with it. We always talk about the ebb and flow of life that also goes with goals and with journeys that you're on. So there may be moments where you take a couple steps backwards and it may not be even your fault. It may be because of an injury or because of something that happened beyond you in this life that, you know, just kind of threw you off for a little bit. So there is that stage of relapse, but knowing that all it takes is to just kind of find that point where you started to regress and then you work your way back up to that maintenance stage. So again, that ebb and that flow, just be honest about where you are right now.
I think it's so interesting, especially when you mentioned that action phase where it's like that first 6 months, because you see so many things online and the health and fitness industry has been so focused on those like 90-day challenges or mm-hmm. those, you know, 6-week challenges or whatever it might be, or even just 30 days or 3 weeks, you know, 21 days. And so we're like slowly, you know, dwindling down how soon we can like forget how productive we need to be, right? It's like, I'm just going to hold out for this 21 days and then see my results and I'll love it. And then I'll get convinced to keep doing it instead of really focusing on past that 6 months. You know, it can be a little difficult. And I know that there's quite a bit of backslide that happens. We've had a guest on the show talk about when we talked about neurotyping, how after 5 years, the amount of people that come back from that. So just always reevaluating those goals, always kind of coming back and figuring out why the new why is, you know, all of those things. I love it.
And also, I must say, I do think that when it comes to those challenges, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I also think maybe the way that they are presented or the way that the verbiage around it, I think that could change the way that people tackle these challenges. Like, right. Instead of it being like I have this 90-day challenge or this 30-day challenge because I'm going on vacation, so I just want to get it done or whatever, like, or I have this competition at work and I, you know, I'm only focused for this amount of time. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about these types of motivations actually in a little bit. When it comes to those kind of short-term, like, 90-day things, 20-day things, 30-day things, I think like just utilizing them more as short-term goal things are almost just Definitely. Like little resets for yourself or little, even little, like taking it to the next level, like trying to get to that next level, like kind of mm-hmm. using it like that instead of using it as a, I'm going to do this and do this only for this one reason. And then I'm just going to move on from it and not hold on to anything that I learned within those 30 days.
Right. Absolutely. It's the difference between eating healthy and then maybe once or twice a year going through some kind of cleanse to support that healthy eating versus eating like shit and then cleansing every 2 months because you think it's going to balance it out.
Right.
Which
is
not what happens.
Right. Exactly. 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 So I think it's all about like the way you talk about it and the way that you frame mm-hmm. it in your mind that kind of makes the difference.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about kind of pairing things well together, making sure we're focused on certain goals. After we've spoken a little bit about linden, one of the other ones that I really enjoy pairing with linden is heather. So heather flower is beautiful little, it looks almost like a lowland bush ground cover with these beautiful little like lavendery magenta flowers, depending on where it's growing. And it's really a good herb just to kind of encourage that boost in your mood. So really important for the winter as well. And you can steep this in a tea. You can mix heather flower and linden leaf and put it into some kind of bath salt. They've even been used in like home brewing. So actually in Scotland, for the last 3,000 years or so, they've used heather flower in a lot of the ales and meads and things that they've brewed. And so that's kind of one of those things where they've incorporated a lot of what naturally grows in the area into things that they want. And it's actually become like a really potent, intoxicating, quote unquote, you know, brew or beer, whatever you want to call it. So it's been around for quite a while. It's made a name for itself. So I really enjoy that it's got some history to it. But on kind of the more medicinal side, when we're talking about health, heather tea is really good for just kidney health, any kind of urinary tract issues. So like we said, when it's encased in herbs, you're not taking it just for that particular reason. You can take it in support of all of those things as a precautionary kind of more proactive aspect. So retention of any kind of fluid that you have, if that's something that happens, maybe it happens a few times throughout the month, maybe it's when you travel, thinking about those things and realizing incorporating those herbs. It's a little bit softer. It's not super drying, but there is some astringency to it. It's also a good herb to support those who might be suffering from gout or arthritis, sleep disorders. So like I said, if you put it into a bath and you really want to get that relaxing feel, it'll help with stomach pain and spasms, which is always good. And so combining those just helps. One of the other things when we talk about like muscle stiffness, soreness, we're also talking about menstrual cramping. So it helps with the discomfort in those areas and that nervous system exhaustion that we get. You know, we get into the winter and we're supposed to still be going at the same speed that we were going in the winter, but our bodies feel different. Or I mean in the summer, but our bodies feel different in the winter.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it's almost like when you travel and you're traveling to an area that is 3 or 4 hours ahead, you're okay. But when you travel back home, now you're used to a different time zone, you get that jet lag some of the time. So it's kind of that when you're switching into the season, your body's feeling different. Incorporating herbs that just support. And one of the really nice enzymes that the heather flower has actually lightens dark spots in your skin. So if you're using incorporating into oils for topicals or putting into bath salts, that's something that's really good. So it can support your body in a myriad of ways, but when paired with linden, they both really work in unison together to support whole health, your body, from, you know, the beauty aspect to it to the physical aspect to it. And I think it's a really great way to think about what your goals are for winter and what herbs you should formulate together to support those goals.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how, I mean, every time we talk about herbs, I love how they're different ways that they could be applied to the body, even within the one herb. I mean, they're so versatile and can be used to support the body in so many ways. It really is beautiful.
Right.
So I was going to talk about a little bit, and I started to hit on this briefly when I was talking before, but different types of motivation, because the different types of motivation are, I believe, and what, you know, research has been showing and stuff, is definitely going to affect the success and the longevity of your success.
Right.
So the self-determination theory describes individual psychological needs for growth, and it also describes different types of motivation. So you have amotivation, so a state at which a person is not motivated to behave in any changing fashion or one way or another, whatever the case is. Extrinsic motivation would be behavior is done for any reason outside of inherent pleasure. And it can be something tangible, like a reward. Let's say you have a competition at work. You see those things all the time. Pools of money, who's going to lose the most weight in a month, and then you get the jackpot at the very end.
Right.
But do you ever continue with that lifestyle that you've put on yourself? And then you have to ask yourself, within those 30 days, were you going about it the right way, or were you just trying to cut weight as quickly as possible?
Oh man, I wish I could do that. Like, I always promise myself like new sneakers or, you know, a shopping spree if I get certain XYZ things done. And then I'm just like, like extrinsic things do not work for me at all. It's got to really, you got to hit deep.
Yes. And I would say for most people, like I said, surface level, these motivations may get you somewhere initially, but is it going to stick? Is it going to last within your life? It could also be intangible things, like you're trying to avoid a feeling of guilt, or you're trying to avoid a temptation or something. Things that are kind of outside of you. So you then have intrinsic motivation, which is behavior directed by personal or internal satisfaction, such as personal enjoyment and self-determination. So when you really stick to a habit, or you find something that works for you, and you really ask yourself, we talked about this last podcast when we were together about emotional pain, and when it's being manifested physically, or when you're working out, asking yourself, why am I really feeling this?
Right.
It's the same thing when you're asking yourself to set a goal. What is my real goal? What is my real motivation here? Is it just the external? Is that going to keep me motivated by just wanting to, you know, get to that carrot at the end of the stick, instead of being like, something that resides kind of, this sounds cheesy, but deep within. I mean, something that really makes you feel like you've grown. So ask yourself that question. And just, I liked this quote, and this is all stuff that I'm currently studying right now, but you deplete energy the more external your motives are when it comes to resisting temptation. So it's exhausting. If you don't have a real internal motivation, it's exhausting trying to turn down temptation.
For sure, yeah.
If you aren't really invested in it, and I've come from a place of trying to fight through past my depression or eating disorders, and when I was younger, I kept saying that I wasn't doing it for myself. I wasn't trying to get better for myself. I was trying to get better for my family. I was trying to get better for my friends. And yes, that was true, and yes, that worked some of the time.
Right.
But it wasn't until I tried to get better for myself that it change actually, like real change actually started to happen.
Absolutely.
So just, you know, remembering that where your motivation lies is going to kind of be where your success is set up.
Yeah, I think that that's really important for the listeners out there and for us to just reiterate all of the time. And it might seem like a little bit of a broken record episode after episode just saying some of these tidbits, but it's really needing to hit home, drive it home. You know, there's all these journals out there now and things you can get where you're answering all these questions and getting to the deep, dark reason of why or whatever. And I think it's one of those things where you can't just act like you said, you can't just act like you're gonna do it, and then it just gets more and more exhausting until you're totally and utterly like burnt out.
Yeah.
Or you give up completely.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that's unhealthy, right?
It turns into shame too.
Yeah. It's like shame, and then you're affecting your mental health. Mm-hmm. And so then there's that shame spiral that we start talking about where, you know, how much of our physical health and our mental health is balanced within our whole wellness plan.
Mm-hmm. Staying on this same topic, 8% of New Year's goals are achieved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because of the type of goal you're setting for yourself. So this is where we're going to get a little bit more specific. So you have objective goals, which are attaining a specific standard of proficiency on a task, or usually within a specific time. You then have subjective goals, which are vague and not easily measurable. So the difference between those would be, and you know, this is, I think, where New Year's goals tend to fail, is that they're too broad. And I will throw myself under the bus and say that at the beginning of the new year, when Paula and I were having a podcast, you asked what goal I had, and I always say, oh, I always have a goal of doing a handstand. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. If I was talking about what stage I was in right now, I would probably be in the contemplation stage. I'm not even in the preparation stage. I've thought about wanting to do a handstand. I think it looks great to do a handstand. Right. I think it's a bomb skill. I think it's a strong skill. Mm-hmm. But I said that out loud, but I never looked into a program. I never got a program. I never did certain things that would lead up to being able to achieve that goal. So, you know, I was very broad with it, and I didn't have an action plan behind it. And so that's the difference between objective and subjective goals.
Yeah, I think the real thing to think about is how much of the goals that you're setting for yourself, whether it's for winter or the new year or this new stage in life, coincide with what you're doing currently. Because just like what we say all the time, this like everyday wellness, incorporating these things, if it's one more thing you've got to add to your to-do list and it doesn't easily incorporate to things you're already doing, the chances of that being successful are already really slim. You know, I think my goals were to eat less sugar for my brain health, and because I wanted to just make sure as I get older that that's in support of everything I'm doing. And then I think my more vague one was play an instrument. So I focused a lot more on sugar, which is probably because it was pretty, you know, I think I had like 20 grams a day, which is really easy to do, especially even if you're not adding in additional sugars. Mm-hmm. But because I only said play an instrument, I haven't gotten to that stage yet, right? It wasn't specific enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I get to that point, you know, when do I have time, honestly, in my day to pick up an instrument and learn something new when my brain is constantly learning things already throughout the day and picking up new things, and now I'm deciding to move and,
right,
you know, and so making sure that it also is somewhat in court. You don't have to create goals that are totally outside of the realm of things you would naturally do just to try something different.
Yes. And that actually like goes perfectly into kind of the last little bit of information in regards to goal setting and making them successful goals is to make them SMART goals, and SMART being S for specific, M for measurable, A for attainable, R for realistic, and T for timely. So specific being, it allows an individual, like, well, exactly what it sounds like, making a specific goal versus a very broad goal. So I want to work out 30 minutes a day, four times a week versus just, I want to get healthier.
Right.
Or I want to incorporate two more servings of vegetables and fruit four times a week or Monday through Friday, opposed to just saying, I want to eat healthier. So make it specific. It allows the individual to access it and kind of know that they're making progress,
right.
Which segues straight into the next one of it being measurable. Mm-hmm. So just saying, I want to be healthier. How do you measure being healthier? Like, how do you know if you're being healthier?
Right.
But if you say, I want to work out 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 times a week, that is something that you could kind of build evidence behind, and that you could measure your progress. Am I hitting 3 to 4 times a week, or am I falling a little bit behind with only 1 to 2 times a week?
Right.
And it's also something that you could evaluate, something that you could kind of hold on to that's tangible. Also, then we go to attainable, is, and this talks about these next two, attainable and realistic, are a little bit similar, but is what, and it's what Paula was referring to a little bit before, is what you are asking truly reasonable within the time frame that you are giving yourself.
Right.
Can you achieve this? And then that goes into it being realistic. You know what you're capable of. You know what time you have available to give to this.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something that you can make room for? So instead of saying, I'm going to do 2-a-day workouts, 2 times a week, and I'm going to work out 6 times a week, you know, outside of that, and I'm going to make sure that my food is dialed in 100%, and then I'm also going to get in my meditation and also be a really present wife or friend or daughter or son or whatever the case is. I mean, and then also you may have work, and then also you may have kids, or you may have pets, or you may want to have a life. My goodness, you may want to have some fun once in a while.
Is going on and on.
That's where, like, knowing that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing, and knowing that these goals should take time. Like, these goals are for your life. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting excited about goal. I didn't realize I'd get so excited about goal setting. So then you have your timely goals. I'm just going to stop right there and then go to the next one. You have your timely goals. Give yourself a deadline, not a someday.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, someday this year, I would like to learn a handstand.
Mm-hmm.
Say, within this month, I would like to be able to get to this point of getting to the handstand. And then within the next month, I want to have gotten to this point of a handstand. And by 3 months, I hope to achieve that handstand. So give yourself a deadline. And then this is what I was kind of getting into when I was fumbling over my words. The short-term and long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
So your goals may be, you may have a really big goal, and that's not a bad thing to have.
Right.
Your goal may be to, like, run an ultra marathon. I don't know why. I mean, I do. That's an incredible feat. But that is a challenge. But let's say, okay, that may be a little extreme. Let's say you want to run a marathon and you've never run before. Let's say we're going from 0 to a marathon.
Mm.
You may not say, you may not be able to run a marathon in 1 month. That wouldn't be a realistic goal. Say, I want to run a marathon by next year. That's going to be your long-term goal. And within that time, I'm going to run 3 5Ks, and then I'm going to get into 2 10Ks before that last marathon run at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think we train for physical activity, and that's so commonplace. But with other goals, we don't think of that training mindset,
right?
You know, and so I think that's really important to get to that point of, even if it's something where you're looking at nutrition or, you know, it's that training mindset of what tiny, smaller goals can I incorporate to get to that bigger goal, if it's a bigger one, you know, the short term and those long term together. And I think that's so fantastic, which, you know, really inspires me the next time we get together for fantastic and wonderful. And I can't remember the other one I say all the time. Absolutely. We're going to absolutely have to fantastically create goals, I think, the next time we meet up for the podcast, that are SMART goals, to really give the listeners something and hold ourselves accountable to that. and maybe I'll stick with an instrument, maybe I'll do something different. But it's definitely not going to be like, you know, joining the WNBA or anything insane, because I think those goals have kind of, you know, flown out the window at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, it is easy sometimes to think about those goals, maybe in regards to training or physical movement, but also knowing that you could have those short-term, long-term goals and these SMART goals for diet or nutrition or herbalism, instead of being like, oh my God, Paula talked about 5 herbs on this podcast, or over the course of what, 40 something episodes, right, you have talked about a fair amount of herbs. And we've talked about this before. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by all of that information, mm-hmm, choose one of the herbs that spoke to you, that spoke to the energetics that you may normally have after you've heard Paula talk about them. And your short-term goal is to incorporate that herb confidently for a few months,
mm-hmm,
and then bring in another herb. And then your long-term goal is that you want to get comfortable maybe creating your own tinctures or right, something, and just being more proficient with that or with food. Yeah, I think you get the point. I don't need to go into more examples. And just, I think Paula talked about this and we hit on it, and it's the last thing I'm going to say, is just to know that with your goals and with anything, there's nothing negative about going back and reevaluating and making new goals and having your goals evolve, or sometimes your goals may regress. Sometimes your goals may have to progress. I mean, it's taking away the language of it being negative about, right, you know, if you realize that a goal is a little bit too much, there's nothing wrong with resetting that goal so that it's more attainable.
Absolutely. And just like, you know, we're here kind of being the resident professionals for our field in this particular podcast, it's a good opportunity for you all to reach out to us, ask us questions. I've been getting a few questions. I'm excited to, you know, dive into some of those. We have a, you know, podcast coming out every week that has a little bit of something. So eventually we'll get to certain questions.
And I'll be in one of those.
Right.
Once a month.
And so send those questions in. And also know that any herbs that I talk about on the podcast, I'm incorporating into things that I create, like the linden and the heather flower together as a bath salt is going to be available on my website for anybody who would like to incorporate those. It's easy to purchase instead of having to go out and source all of that yourself.
Remember, friends, we're not ingesting those bath salts.
Yeah, we're not smoking them. We're not soothing. They're soothing.
Not this ain't Florida.
Right.
I could say that because I'm from Miami, just for the record. But yeah, with that being said, I think we have a little bit of a hike and a little bit of a workout ahead of us, mm-hmm, that we're going to continue doing on this stunning day and just try to enjoy each other's company before our final session on Thursday. But
yeah.
Send in those questions, whether it's for me or for Paula. Like we said, I'm not going anywhere. It's just changing a little bit.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right. We'll catch you on the flip side.
All right. Bye, guys.
Peace and love.